Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thanks, Maddie. Very good. Welcome, church. How are we doing? We well? It is so good to see so many people in church. And for many of you, I know this has been the first time in a little while that you've been to church. And I just want, for the rest of us who have been in church already, to welcome all our visitors, not only in service, but all of our visitors on the stream that are watching as well. Let's welcome them all to church this morning. It is great to have you with us this morning. Absolutely. We had the issue of chairs last week. We had to put more chairs out, and we've put more chairs out, and they're filling up as well. And so thank you so much for making the effort to come to church and allow God to work in your heart. And I thought I might have to walk because I know that you guys on the edges over there are like, you're right over there. So I'm going to try and speak to you guys today, as well as everyone in the middle of the service here as well. What a start to the year we've had, right? School is back. Are there any parents that say amen to school being back? Amen. That wasn't quite as enthusiastic as I would have thought it would be. Amen. I'm going to say it. Amen. The kids are back to school. It's wonderful. And I was considering that at the start of this year and remembering back to what it was like at this time last year and how we kind of, you know, we're in this busy field right now. You know, it's getting busy back to everything that it was before the shutdown, and what an interesting thing that is we're going through. And I think we've said it a number of times that even with 2021 and what 2020 was, there's no magic pill that we all took at the start of 2021 to say that we're going to be without challenge or that we're going to be without difficulty this year, that we are still going to have to face things when it comes to 2021. But doesn't it bring you peace to know that the same God who saw us through 2020 is the same God that is faithful to see us through 2021? Does anyone say amen to that? That is the truth, church. That is the truth. And he is, as the word of God says, the same yesterday, today, and what? And forever, forever. He doesn't change. He is as steady as a rock. He always has been, and he always will be. And on top of that, you know, that's a great thing for us to know. It brings us peace. But on the other side of that is there is always something new for us in God. He always has fresh revelation for us. There is always something new for us to learn from the Word of God, and as the Holy Spirit makes that come alive in us, a greater understanding to come when it comes to His character. I loved Steph's message this morning, and I tell you what, after Steph does anything from the platform, I'm like, I don't need to preach. I thought she could have like dropped the microphone after that one, and church is done because it's so brilliant. So thank you, Steph, for what you've done this morning and just asking us those questions. God, who is it that we see you as, Lord God? And what does that actually mean to us? And that fits really well with what I'm going to share with you this morning on Vision Sunday. I have loved seeing all of you come here to church and hearing the stories for those who have been joining us online every week as well. And I want to remind you today, before we get to the message, that church is not just a service we attend, right? But it's a community that we're a part of. We build each other up here. We grow in our faith together. That is why we come together. We support one another. We are able to be a blessing to our community. And together we can do more in that space as well. This building, if you look around, is not the church. We are the church. We are the church. And the evidence is really, you know, as much as it's on what happens inside this place, it is what happens outside of this place that matters all the more as well. There are a number of things that we as a leadership team hope that you hear through the years or have heard through the years as part of Life Ministry Church. The things that the church is built on. And one of the questions that we always continue to ask, you know what it is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We ask that question and we explain what the Bible says in church. But I also encourage you to ask that question, not what does the world say, not what does someone else say, not what do I feel, but what does the Word of God say? And we ask that question in church, but I think it is all the more important that we continue to ask that question when we are outside of church as well. Not what does the world say, but what does the Word say? And secondly, as we read in James 1:22, that we are not just to be hearers of the Word, but we are to be doers of the Word. That we don't just come to church and hear a message and hear God speak, but we head out of this place and we put into practice that which we have heard. We action that which we have heard. Our mission here at Life Ministry Church is quite simple. Life Ministry Church, we are living and ministering Christ. That is our mission. In other words, loving God and loving others. Everything we need to do is towards that, and to God be all the glory as we love Him with the way that we give our lives over to Him, with the way that we come to church and we say, God, we open our hearts to You. Have Your way in us. Do Your work in us that we may see You glorified in the lives of others. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to light, we have an opportunity right now to be a light in our community. And you know what? When the darker it gets, the more the light is actually able to have an impact in that darkness. And sometimes when you look around, we can feel that the world can be quite dark in some areas. Yet, doesn't it feel good to know that we have the answer? And not only that, not only do we have the light, but we are the light. Let me read to you Matthew 5, 14 to 16. I don't have this on the screen, but just listen. You are the light of the world, it said. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Is anyone ready to take the lid off the basket of your light? I think about our youth. Any youth and young adults here that are on summer camp? Come on, you got to give me more than that. Yeah, come on. That was enough for everyone else. Yeah, it's a good job. That was great. Man, you guys, you're back to school, back to uni, back to the workplace. Let's allow that lid to be taken off, that our light would shine brightly in those situations, in the circumstances we find ourselves in. Is anyone excited what God is going to do this year in them? Come on. I know I am as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that we can freely come and enter into Your presence. We thank You for what You have spoken through the worship, through communion, Lord God, this morning. But we open up our hearts again to You and say, have Your way, Lord God, in us. Let Your word come alive. Let it accomplish that which You have purposed it for this morning. We are Your servants. Have Your way in us. In Jesus' name we say, amen. So Vision Sunday this morning, it's been an exciting morning. I've been looking forward to it as setting our course as a church for the year. And I'm excited to share that vision that I believe God has given us as a church. Well, 2020, what a year. And church online. And I just want to say, I was so amazed how everyone responded to church online and to doing that like that last year. And firstly, I just want to honor again our tech team who did a brilliant job. And behind the scenes with that, yeah, you can give them a hand right now. Yeah, they did an amazing job. Amazing job. I'm not going to name names. They know who they are, who did all the work in that. But there was about 5 days. There was a scramble between the time that we knew that we had to do a live stream, 5 days to set it up and to go around and borrow all this equipment that we needed to borrow from people. It was a patch-up job at best, but we did it, and it was great. And I think for many of you, I was so proud of you as well for jumping on board with that, with online church. And I'm sure there are many of you who had never live-streamed anything before in their life until last year, but now you very much know how to do that. And I wanted to, was anyone, you don't have to put your hand up, anyone more consistent with church last year than probably they've ever been before? Because you could just flick it on in the morning. I did hear that from a few people last year. And my challenge to you is to keep it up. If you were at church a lot more last year, keep it up this year. It is so easy for us to fall back into what may have been or to fall back into the one in every whatever it is. But I want you to keep coming to church. Up the back there, you'll again note that we're building some new rooms up there. And this is to house our vision setup that is placed here at the moment temporarily and our sound setup, because we are making this a permanent part of what it is at LMC for the visual part of our services, which is a wonderful thing. Yeah, the guys are doing a great job with that. 5 people are excited. It's excellent. And last year, we came together as an eldership to discuss what was going to look like moving forward, where we felt God was leading us and we felt that the opportunity was there for us. And it was a God-led thing, God-led opportunity for us to make that a permanent part of what we do here at church. And I wanted to, I would love to see you here at church every week, absolutely, in the building. And I want to talk to you about what it is to do online service and why we did that. Well, obviously we're forced to do that, but why we are continuing to do that. Why we are continuing to do that is because we want to serve you the church. We want to serve you in the best way possible, and there's one part of how we can do that. I know there are many who have enjoyed continuing on with church as they've been off on their summer break. I know there are many who have been unable to make it to the building but have continued to do church at home. And we want all that to be able to come into your homes. And as much as I would love to see you, I would love to see you here every single Sunday. There is nothing like being in the room. But if you can't, if you cannot be here, let me encourage you to make the most of what it is to be able to do church away from this building as well. And if you cannot make it for some reason, make sure you put the time aside to worship God, to do communion with us as a church, and to hear the word of God preached. Whether you do that on a Monday, a Tuesday, or a Wednesday through the week, catch what has been done in church and continue on. And secondly, we have seen that the viewing of the online service is such a great introduction for many people to church and the preaching of the word. And my prayer is that many would continue to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ as these services go beyond the four walls of this church building. All that said, our intention is that the live stream will continue for the next short while, after which point we will make the full services available to you at a later point. So you still won't have to miss a thing. Last year, many of you joined Connect Groups, which were created for the first time. Last year, many of you gave generously like never before. Last year, we saw a number of people come to know Christ via the live stream, and we rejoice with the angels in heaven at these souls who were saved. Can we praise God for that? Amazing, amazing. Yeah, some of them I know are here in the building with us today. What a great thing that was to see. And our staff learnt last year how to present to a camera for the first time. Many of them. Didn't they do a great job? Yeah, they did. That's all right. Yeah, they know. They know, right? Because most of the time they did a great job. It wasn't all the time, most of the time. There was a lot of work for Julia, our editor, on those videos because we just couldn't do it. And I tell you what, if you've learned anything, Matt, tight clothes aren't always the thing that you need to wear. So if we've learned anything from that. 2020. We hope we don't have to go back to that, but hey, we'll go where God leads us. And so 2020, we look at our signs up on the wall, was grow. It didn't come how we planned or how we wanted, but we trusted that God would continue to lead us with his wisdom. And he will continue to do that, which brings us to 2021. And I began inquiring of God about what he had for us this year, back in October. And at that time, we weren't back at church, but things were generally looking up for us here in Victoria. And I asked God, how do you want us to come out of this year? What is that going to look like? Do we need a celebratory theme based on how things were going here? Do we need a theme based on God's faithfulness and how faithful we'd seen him through last year? Or one that's a little bit lighter, one that's fun around this year? And I was actually led around the word love, simply the word love. And specifically that thought and that biblical instruction for us to love God and for us to love others. And for the love others part, there's actually something that I'm really excited to share with you as a church, not now, but later in the year, that we're working very hard behind the scenes in terms of that loving others in our community. And as I journeyed this with God, I happened to be mowing the grass, which is a lot of where God talks to me when I'm mowing the grass, which is incredible. And he speaks to me like no other time. And he said this as clearly as ever, that it's not time to step out of the ocean onto the shore, but it's actually the time to dive deeper, both vertically with our relationship with God and horizontally with our relationship with others. And Julia, why don't you go and give us a hand with that? And Sky's going to help her as well. And Julia's going to help me this morning by taking down our Grow banner. And we were so prepared when we put the Grow banner up in the middle of last year and no one was here and it didn't get seen for so long. But we were so prepared, we put this year's theme up as well. So it's actually underneath the Grow banner. No, that's not true. We just put it up this. That's not true. It's here. And I'm really excited to share with you, and you guys can put that slide up and then they'll remove that as we go, that our theme for 2021 that I feel that God has for us this year is the heart of God. The heart of God. What are you laughing at? Oh, they had the ladder around the wrong way? They have practiced this. Sky's going to be there to hold the ladder for Julia. And Jules is going to whip down that grow sign. Watch this. Yeah. And you could probably pull the other one from there as well, could you? Oh, you don't want to do it that way? Yes, because you want to make sure it's done well. Grow God. Grow God. The heart of God. What is God's heart for the world in which we live? What is God's heart for humanity in general? Yeah, come on. And here it is. The grow God. Go on. There it is. The heart of God. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Thanks, girls. Julia has done such a wonderful job with the artwork for Grow and the artwork for Heart of God. She is inspired in the stuff that she creates. What is God's heart for you individually this year? And perhaps one of the most well-known scriptures when it comes to the heart of God is in Acts 13:22. We're going to read it. And it speaks of King David in the Old Testament and his obedience to the call of God. Let's see what it says. It says, "But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Right off the top, why was that said about David? Why was David called that? What is it to have a heart after God's own heart? It's actually right there in the verse. Put the verse up again for us. It says right at the end, "He will do everything I want him to do." It's simple obedience. It's something we'll get back to in another message later on. But today, I just want to briefly share a taster message on the heart of God. Turn to someone and say, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. The definition of the heart in the Word of God, actually, the heart is one of the most anthropological, the study of humankind, words used throughout the Bible. In fact, it is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Word of God. It has many contexts, but most of the time it is centered around our hearts being part of our spiritual makeup. It's a spiritual organ that drives one's behavior. Our emotions and our desires begin in the heart, leading to the will of man to action. Proverbs 4:23, let's see it. It says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." What's one way to do that when it comes to guarding your heart? You know, our hearts are so precious, and sometimes they can be quite soft, and they can be hurt, and they can be broken. What is it to guard our hearts? Well, the Word of God has the answer. Let's see what the Word says. In Philippians 4:4-7, it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again." What does it say? "Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Guard your heart. One translation says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it." The heart is the center. The heart is the core of who someone is. Our action comes out of the state of the heart. And if you're looking for transformation in your life, make sure you're not doing it backwards. Make sure you're not trying to fix or change everything on the surface before actually going inside and realizing that transformation actually works from the inside out. And that God is the one who can do that heart surgery and that transformation for us on the inside, inside out. And this year we're going to look at the heart of God. We're going to allow God to lead us to His core so that we can have a greater understanding of who God is and the instruction that He gives. Now, I don't know if you've spoken to people over the years, and there seems to be a question that will continually come up when it comes to what God thinks or why God acts the way He acts. And sometimes, you know, there's those, if He is loving, why is there suffering? Or if He cares for me, why aren't my prayers answered? Or you know, if I see non-believers that are having success in life, and yet I'm not seeing breakthrough in my own life, and perhaps even one of the biggest ones, which is I don't believe that the God of the Bible accepts me for who I am, my preferences, the way I want to live, what I think is best for me doesn't actually fit in that God box, so this God stuff must not be real. And over all of that comes this statement that if it doesn't make sense, then it must not be true. If I can't understand it, doesn't make sense, then it must not be true. Growing up, I was into sport a lot. I loved playing my basketball, and I still love it now, although it's a bit harder on my body these days. But I played cricket. You know, my neighbor and I, when we were young, we would run a whole test match all 5 days, just him and I playing outside all day until it got dark. Like, I can't bowl one over before my arm is burning, like tomorrow these days, and yet we played 5 full days of this. And it came around that time, and I was, you know, I'd play footy outside as well, that I was asked the question of whether I was going to play footy or I was going to play cricket or I was going to do these different sporting events. And some of them would tend to land on Sundays. And my parents would made a decision for me, really, at that point, because I wasn't wise enough to understand the fullness of the decision I was making, that I wasn't going to be playing sport on Sunday, because that was when we did church and we were serving at church. We were very involved in ministry here at church, at this church, actually. And so as it went on, I was passionate about my sport, and it was something that I really wanted to do. I wanted to do it. It was something that I wanted. But my parents would say no, and my attitude to them was tested sometimes, because they were saying no to something that I really felt passionate about doing and I wanted to do. And I didn't understand the fullness of their reason. But as I look back on it later in life, I understand that decisions they made for me in that time were purely out of their love and care for me. They wanted me to make sure that I was putting Jesus Christ as the first thing in my life, and that's where that challenge came. It wasn't about them being against me. It was about me lacking understanding of their heart for me in that situation. Things will always be misinterpreted, taken the wrong way, and even come across as offensive unless we understand the heart of where it's coming from. And at God's very core is love. That word of Joyce was so perfect this morning. God's heart is love. His heart is his love for us, for you and I. Love is at the core of who God is. And the action, the demonstration of this love is stated in this life-altering verse, one of my favorites, Romans 5:8. It says this: but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In closing today, and we are going to get through this series, and we've got some exciting things planned this year around this theme of the heart of God. But in closing, I want to read this beautiful statement as an excerpt from a sermon from the hymn writer James T. East, which speaks so beautifully to this point. So just have a listen. I've got it on the screen as well. It says, reason compels us to conclude that all the love in the universe is divine in its origin, and that he who is the source of love must himself possess it. We are forced to think that as the sap in branch and leaf has all flowed up from the roots, so all those streams of beautiful affection which redeem human life from barrenness have gushed warm from the heart of God. As the sea is the source from which every blade of grass gets its own drop of dew, and the thirsty earth gets refreshment through gentle rains, so all kindliness, generous impulses, beneficent, which is generous or doing good ministries, that gladden the parched and weary hearts of men, have their origin in that ocean of love without bottom or shore, which lies in the depths of the nature of God. As every ray of light that warms the atmosphere and makes the day beams from the face of the sun, so all the glow and beauty that are felt and seen in filial affection, which is from a son or a daughter, and the amenity of family life, in leal-hearted, which is loyal or true, friendship and goodwill amongst men, are the reflection of the light of love that streams from our God in the sky. And here it is on the next slide from the Word, 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God's heart is a heart of love for us. He has designed us for relationship, for community, knowing our needs and promising to meet every single one of them. In 2021, as we dive deeper to see and understand God's character, his love, his mercy, and his justice, as we know Jesus Christ as the manifestation of God's love for us, I want you to keep asking yourself the question, what is my response? What is my response to the heart of God, to the love that he has for me? To have it said about us at the end of the day, David, a man after God's own heart. Insert your name, a man or woman after God's own heart. Obedience to his call. I actually had the rest of my message, and it was too much, and I wrote two messages for this morning. But it was really about, I'm going to preach it another day, so I'm not going to go into it right now. We're going to close. But it was called Heart Transplant. And it was about the heart of stone that is removed and the heart of flesh that is replaced, the soft heart that is replaced, that soft heart that is ready to receive. And so to close up today, I want to pray for you. And with all eyes closed, let's take a moment right now and open our hearts and soften our hearts towards God and what he is saying to us this morning. That you would allow the truth of God's love to overshadow that which you feel right now based on what the world says. That word about identity this morning. Who does God say you are? You are a child of his. You are loved by the King of Kings. That scripture in Philippians 4, which talked about the peace of God guarding our hearts, is what I pray for today in people. That there is peace in the knowledge that God is sovereign, that he is for you and not against you. And I just want you to look inside at your own heart right now. Perhaps over 2020 it was bruised a little bit. Perhaps due to circumstances right now, it's feeling a little bit hurt. There's a little bit of pain. I want to pray for you this morning that the love of God for you would be what repairs and restores your heart to what he has for you right now. Father God, I thank you that we can come to you, warts and all, Lord God. I thank you that you see us from the inside out. And as it says in Romans 5, that while we were still sinners, Christ, you died for us. God, I thank you for your heart for your people. I thank you for your amazing love for every single one of us. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who feels like their heart is a bit sore. Perhaps it's broken. Perhaps even it's hard and unwilling to receive, Lord God, the word that you have for them. Father, Lord God, for those hard hearts that they'd be softened in the light of your love, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way. And Father, for the hearts that are hurting, for the hearts who potentially the barricade, the fence around them, has been broken down. Lord God, the guarding of those hearts would come back to that peace in the knowledge that you are sovereign, that you are Lord over all, that you see them, Lord God, the depths of their heart, and you love them so much. Father, I pray right now for restoration in their hearts. Lord God, that from this day forward, that they will be able to walk in that which you have for them, and not settle for anything less, Lord God, than the best that you have for us. Father, right now we dedicate this year to you, and we will next week as well, as we seek your heart. That, Father, we would ask, what does that say about you? And we would continue to ask that question, what is my response to your love? And, Father, right now our response is to give over our lives again afresh to you. And say, have your way in us. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. God, I pray for anyone hearing this word this morning that perhaps hasn't made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their lives, and how important that decision it is. And church, if you're here with us this morning, let's just pray for these people who are hearing these words right now. If that's you this morning, and you need to make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want to pray for you today. And if you're here in church this morning and that's you with no one looking around, I would love you to slip your hand up just quickly so that I can see it, to make that acknowledgement that I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today. Is anyone here today? I see those hands. I see those hands. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can pop those hands down. Thank you, Lord God. And for anyone who's watching us online as well, I can't see your hand, but know that God can. And he sees the decision your heart is making today. And I'll pray for you this morning. Father God, I pray and I thank you for these people that are making that decision today to say that I can't do this alone, but Jesus, I need you inside. Father, I acknowledge and I thank you for the love that you have shown me by dying and spilling your blood on the cross, that I am forgiven, that I am redeemed, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you welcome them into eternity with open arms right now. Continue your mighty work in them, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And the whole church said, amen, amen. Give them a hand. That is an amazing decision you made. We are so excited for you today. It's brilliant.
Good morning, church. What a beautiful time of worship we've had. Sal, thank you for leading us in that. That was just beautiful. And I want to just stay in that atmosphere of worship just for a moment while we take communion this morning. So if the team could please distribute the elements, that would be great. So just something about me, because we did a lot of fun facts about everybody last year. So, not a fun fact, but a fact about me, is that I am a massive overthinker. I overthink things all the time. And if you've ever tried, or if you've ever watched me try to make a decision, you'll know that this is true. I overthink things a lot. And sometimes I find that this overthinking, it ends up translating into my reading of the Word of God. And now, I love studying the Word, and I'm all about, you know, like study Bibles and commentaries and, you know, what does this mean in like Hebrew or Greek, and, you know, how does this tiny little detail symbolize something about Christ? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. It's important to study the Word of God. But I sometimes find that in my own efforts to get something new and to increase my knowledge, I miss the beautiful and powerful simplicity of what God is trying to say to me as I spend time with him. And so to counter this overthinking that I do, I now have a post-it note in my Bible, and I've written two questions on it. And so now when I find myself getting stuck in my own head as opposed to spending time with God, I pull out this post-it note and ask these two questions of whatever passage I happen to be reading, and it helps me to refocus and to just bring me back to the basics. And so those two questions are, number one, what does this say about God? And number two is, what does this mean for me? And as I was preparing to share with you this morning, I found myself falling into this trap yet again and falling into trying to overcomplicate things, because I knew the passage of scripture that God had put on my heart to share communion from this morning, but I was just having so much trouble getting the words out. And as I was sitting in my office earlier this week, and I was literally just staring, like I just had my Bible out, and I was literally just staring at this passage of scripture, and I just wasn't getting anywhere. And God brought to mind the post-it note I have sitting in my Bible at home. So I grabbed out another post-it note, and I wrote down those two questions. What does this say about God? And what does this mean for me? And as I pondered these questions, I thought, you know, communion is an opportunity to ask those questions of the cross. What does the cross say about God? And what does the cross mean for me? And as I asked those questions, I realized that the passage in Colossians I had open in front of me, the one that I'd just been staring at blankly, just so happened to answer those questions perfectly. So this morning, as we take communion together, I'd love to spend just a few minutes answering these questions with you. So what does the cross say about God? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and I've got it up on the screen for you. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this passage just leaves me so in awe of God. He is over all creation, thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. And the word that Paul uses here is supreme. And the cross and the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate display of this supremacy. We see his unparalleled sovereignty over everything, including death itself. But at the cross, not only do we see a supreme and sovereign God, but we see a personal and an intimate one. We see God's desire to be reconciled with his people by means of Christ's blood on the cross. See, Paul doesn't write in Colossians that God was obligated to live in Christ. He says that God, in all of his fullness, in all of that incredible supremacy that we just read, that God, who is the invisible made visible and who existed before everything, who created everything, who is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He wanted you close to him. Our God, who is above all things and created all things and who holds all things together, wanted to be reconciled with you. He wanted to be in communion with you. Which brings us to our second question. What does the cross mean for you? It goes on to say from verse 21, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. You were far away, but because of the blood of Jesus, you are now close. You have been brought into his presence. And I love that that's been something that has carried through the worship this morning and in the words that people have brought about us being able to come into the presence of God. And this is something that blows my mind time and time again, that we, ordinary people, have been brought into the presence of the Creator, of the King of Kings. And the reason that this blows my mind is because if you want to go and see the Queen, right, you need to have done something pretty impressive and pretty awesome to warrant an audience with her. She doesn't have time for just anyone, I don't think. But here in Colossians, it says that we have been brought into his presence, the presence of the King of Kings, and it's not because of anything that we have done, but because of everything that he has done. You are holy and you are blameless and you stand before him without a single fault because of the cross. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are holy and blameless and without fault, just as he is holy and blameless and without fault. And that is what the cross means for you. We've answered these two questions and we're going to take communion together in just a moment. But before we do, I want to ask just one more. Now what? It goes on in verse 23. To say, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Continue to believe this truth, stand firmly in it. And as we come around the communion table this morning, it's an opportunity for us to do just that. So I encourage you to look at the elements that you're holding that are symbolic of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus and ask yourself, what does this say about God? And what does this mean for me? Let's take a moment just to reflect on that and eat and drink, and then I'll pray. Lord God, we just thank you that you are pleased for all your fullness to dwell in Christ. Thank you that even though we were now far away, we've been brought close into your presence by the precious blood of Christ that was spilled for us at the cross. We thank you what this means for us. We thank you that we are now children of God. We thank you that we can now call ourselves holy and blameless and without fault in the presence of our King. And we just cannot thank you enough for that. We cannot thank you enough for that gift and for that sacrifice of a loving God who just desires to be reconciled with his people. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In your precious name we pray. Amen.